and how current the IDA is misrepresented. And I will say that it's very difficult to find information on the web as a citizen to be able to actually identify or to search and to understand what the IDA actually does and for all of the options that there are. I'm here today just to ask a question. Perhaps you could, I don't know if you answer questions during public comment.
Not normally, but let's see what the question is.
The question is, I wondered what is the discretionary decision that the IDA would make in the way of the Niagara bottling proposal?
We're not going to answer that.
You can't answer that.
We don't even have an application.
I know. I know that it's not on the table.
Right.
But the reason I ask is because there's confusion, and maybe there's a way to clarify that on the website at some point when the public would be involved, which is another question.
I will answer that.
Okay.
So the process would be Niagara would, or any business, would apply for benefit. We would host a public hearing in the community that's affected by that project. We would take their comments. Not to say, and again, we would take their comments, not saying that those comments are the end-all, be-all of the discussion. I think our friends from DuPaltz, you know, much to their chagrin, would say that that didn't happen for a particular project down there. But we have a uniform tax exemption policy that we follow, where we try not to bring in emotions to the decision. It's very, you know, we use the uniform tax exemption policy and the points calculator to clearly identify projects that warrant tax incentive. And from that public hearing, those comments are taken. The points calculator is reviewed, the application's reviewed, the project in general is reviewed, and from that point a decision is granted.
We
work off of that uniform tax exemption policy, what's called a deviated pilot, meaning that it's not a normal pilot. It's an extension of term. It's a more aggressive or even in some cases a less aggressive tax structure than what would normally be provided under our regular uniform tax exemption policy. Those instances, we would, per our policy, we're not required to do so per the regulation, but per our own policies in Ulster County, we would go back to each affected taxing jurisdiction. In your case, I think it would be probably City of Kingston, Kingston School District, Town of Ulster, and see what their thoughts were on a specific arrangement. And if there is dissent there, we would normally not entertain that pilot.
Okay. The uniform tax exemption policy, is that available?
Yeah, it's right on the website.
It's right on the website. Great.
Yeah.
Great. I didn't see it.
We are. I know, and I wish Suzanne was still here, but I know we're in the process of revamping the website.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I mean, it's never going to be perfectly clear. I don't want to say perfectly clear.
You can FOIA any public documents.
Yeah, I mean,
just to make it, you know, and I'm certainly not, you know, speaking. You can FOIA any public document you want.
I understand that. What do you mean it's not perfectly clear?
No, and not that. I mean, the way it's laid out on the website, you have our uniform tax exemption, all of our policies, the process.
That's all clear.
That's all out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
what might not be clear is if you're not familiar at all.
No, but I could.
Yeah,
I think
you'd
be able to navigate
that. Yes.
Well, or I could ask the question.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
One last thing. The Startup New York program, how clear is the IDA on how that program works and
what it's New York is outside of
I know
any IDA.
But it sounds like it's not a typical
as clear as the state is.
Right, that's not good news. So
unfortunately I think it's an evolving or wrongly it's an evolving process. We as an IDA are separate and distinct
completely
from Startup New York.
It just sounds like
our policies are very clear on how we
great work. And I think that will be helpful to have, but I think that the IDA's role is a different one in this case if it comes before you than a normal pilot. So that's the confusion for the public is that it's not actually related to property and school tax here in this case. It has to do with this is our understanding.
I
it has to do with square footage.
So I don't even, you know what I mean? It's a hard thing to.
I know.
And I try
it's
not
hard
to
for us too.
Conjecture, so.
Thank you very much.
Do we have an application?
Yeah, there is no, there's no application.
There isn't, well, the point is that you're an involved agency in SEAKER, and the public is trying to understand how this whole process works, and that's why we're here today, and thank you for your time.
He'll permit that.
That's fair enough, okay. Mr. Brown.
I want to thank the board for, again, its diligence, and I find your meetings are, when you attend, when we can attend, are clear and brings an honest attempt to carry out your mission, and I support that. Elliot Auerbach's report, I'm sure you're familiar with it. I think was, again, largely complimentary about the work of the IDA. I have no trouble with that. He did raise some interest when Councilperson Venatorius invited him to speak at our town hall about a difference in the UTEP, and I'm delighted to know that you're meeting on that on Friday. I'll try to make it. In Westchester County versus some other counties in the state, evidently by law or by the UTEP, the Westchester County IDA has determined that school districts must be consulted, and they have a real voice. And I think, given this difference of home rule economic development and this confluence now of the tax gap, a pilot dollar is not the same as a taxpayer dollar when given to a school district. And I urge the board, and we'll do our part as citizens, to look into that and the justification of altering the UTEP now to give a greater voice to the local taxing authorities and particularly the school districts because of the impact. So I thank you for the consideration. Thanks for having the UTEP.
It's a valid point in regards to the pilot payments to the districts. No question about it. Thanks. Any other public comment?
Yeah. Hi. Is it right if I take a seat here because I got some papers on the table? Thank you. Steve Greenfield from the town of New Paltz. Getting started, as I always have to do, I want to be clear that I'm not speaking on behalf of the Board of Education of the New Paltz Central School District. However, I'm not speaking exclusively as a private citizen as well, because, in fact, I am a member of the school board in the New Paltz Central School District and the chairman of the facilities committee there. And in that role, I have to do independent due diligence on my own, and I'm going to be speaking a little bit about that. This has to do with the matter of the shovel-ready feasibility study regarding the establishment of a sewer district in the South Putt Corners Light Industrial Corridor. Here in New Paltz, I'm very disappointed that Supervisor Zimmet bailed out at the last minute and chose not to come here to make whatever presentation she was going to make. As I'm sure you all know, because you've communicated with the town and the town's engineer and the town's attorney, the feasibility study is, I'm guessing, about 2.5 years behind what it was supposed to be done at this point. And I want to let you know that despite whatever you may have heard from town sources up to this point about the impending completion of the study, it's not done. And I don't believe it's going to be done. And I'm going to explain. And even though they're going to submit a request for their reimbursement for it, and I'm going to explain to you what I mean about that. The proposal that they're working with at this time focuses on a specific site. And I'm going to read something to you from Dave Clouser's letter sent to you through Joe Moriello about that site. He's explaining in this letter, dated November 18th, that was passed along to you, of 2014, what were the causes of the delay and where he feels he is now. And in so stating, he said, the study was partially funded by the UCIDA Shovel Ready Grant Program in 2012 and did not progress for some time, since the first step of this feasibility investigation was focused on locating a suitable site for a wastewater treatment plant. Without the availability of a suitable site to process and discharge the wastewater, the feasibility of developing the public sewer service along South Putt Corners Road could not be determined. The first site that was anticipated became not available, and a second location was thereafter investigated. It's important to note that nowhere in this letter does he actually provide any information on where that site may be. And as I'm sure you've heard, that's become a matter of controversy.
It's a huge controversy to you guys in New Paltz, but we don't...
I understand that. I understand that. Looking at the shovel-ready grant application that was filled out by the town and submitted to you, as part of the scope of work for their ultimate deliverable, it says that they're going to prepare sewage district mapping, indicating conceptual sewage collection treatment system, and prepare the capital cost estimate for the collection system and treatment plant design. The current location that they're working with, put as simply as possible, is a location upon which they cannot build this plant. So they are at a using a location that they're going to submit to you, at which they already know that they absolutely cannot construct the plant.
Based on what? I mean, why can't it? I'm just curious why they can't build it there. Is there some wetlands?
Well, first of all, there are wetlands on that grounds.
I wasn't challenging you. I'm just asking you.
Yes, it's overwhelmingly wetlands. When you see the map, you'll see that. And they did find a way to squirrel some of the equipment
this
into the
parts.
This
is a new plant issue.
Well,
I don't care where they put it.
You know, I know you don't care where they put it.
It's a feasibility study.
In terms of paying, as Dave described himself in his letter to you, they didn't do the work for 2.5 years because they couldn't find a location that they thought they could actually build on. And what I'm explaining to you right now is that the location they're about to submit to you in exchange for their reimbursement is also a location that they cannot build on. And they already know that they have to go back to the drawing boards and find a new location to do this and basically do the feasibility study over from scratch. And yet they're going to be submitting the work that they've done to you to get this reimbursement. And I'm going to recommend to you that you put this on hold and not promptly reimburse them. There's another matter at hand besides the fact that the property is not suitable for this function and that they already know they're not going to be building it there, which is that the property in question is owned by a member of the town board. So there needs to be some conflict investigation done before that could pursue any further. It certainly shouldn't be in the form of a completed feasibility study that they can present
fair
to
enough
you for reimbursement according to the contract that you signed with them.
Who's the owner of the property?
Feasibility study, Kevin Barry. In addition,
is there policies in place in the town? I mean, I'm being naive. I'm naive to the policies in the town of Newport, and I apologize, Mr. Chairman. I probably shouldn't engage, but it's interesting what you bring up, and I'm just. Is there a policy in place in New Paltz about recusing yourself? Is there?
Yes, there is, of course. There's a policy, and there's a state policy for that as well. But there's an interesting matter about that that's raised in the letter from Dave Clauser to this IDA, which is that he says within the immediately following the part I just read you about not having found a suitable location, the very next paragraph goes on to say, within the past few months, an alternative property that is suitably located in the South Putt Corners corridor was offered for review by a landowner. And an investigation of the site began. A conceptual layout of the facility was prepared and discussed with the landowner prior to engaging the DEC's review with regards to its suitability. So that's part of, since he's not being specific about the site or the owner, but he is saying that the site was proposed to him by the owner and not the other way around. That's a component of what needs to be investigated about whether a conflict took place in the selection of this location. He's saying that the landowner came to him, not the other way around. So that's something that needs to be unraveled. In addition, when Dave Clauser presented his final report, we do have a town councilman here and another school board member and a member of the public that was witness to this. There was a tremendous amount of demonstrably inaccurate information presented in it. And so that's going to be part of what comes to you when it comes to you. So on top of everything else, I'm going to raise the question that the information you're going to receive will be challenged for its accuracy. They're going to ask for reimbursement, but it's full of misinformation. I believe that Dave Clauser was trying to encourage the town board to actually back away from this proposal because in two separate points in his presentation, at one point he says, the town and village, because it turned out that the village was planning to expand their own capacity and that maybe the town could tie into that instead of this particular location. And Dave Clauser said to the town board, the town and village can get together and use that plant. I think that's a great gesture, and I really hope that works out. And a little bit later in his slide about next steps, he says, we suggest that you explore that collaboration with the village. And that's going to be in his bullet points. I'm taking that to be that Dave was offering them a way to get out of this problematic feasibility study that they're about to propose. So the misinformation that it contains is something else that's going to be challenged. You would theoretically be accepting it as proper, as submitted, because you don't know that it contains this misinformation, but it's going to be challenged on that basis. In addition, there was a long presentation that was made that I believe this board was made aware of, because there was a quote from the chair in the newspaper referring to it about the transparency of the process. We were unfortunately subjected to a three-hour presentation before public comment was allowed about that, and this stack of documents was distributed to the public that night, and I brought a copy for you. I read all of these documents, and I sat through that entire presentation, and I'm going to turn it over to this organization, because not once, actually, in this entire set of documents, nor the presentation that accompanied it, was the location ever mentioned. Not a single time. But they were nice enough to staple to the top of it the school board's resolution of opposition to the location and the steps that the school board plans to take to oppose it. So even though I'm not here to speak on behalf of the school board, this is an official and duly adopted resolution that's on our website, and it was presented by the town board, not the school board, in their documentation. So it is going to make its way to you now when I hand that to you. So in summation, I'm going to be presenting you with the town's presentation about its so-called transparency. It includes a copy of their shovel-ready grant application that should make it clear that they are not actually delivering to you the deliverable that they need to deliver to get their reimbursement according to the terms of this contract, because they're not giving you a viable site plan. I'm going to give you the letter that Dave wrote explaining how he came upon the alternative property. And I'm going to ask that for the time being, that no matter when Susan arrives, that has to go through your clerk to make copies for everybody, that no matter when Susan arrives, no matter when the report, no matter when a feasibility study gets to your desks, that you advise the supervisor and the town board of the vaults that you're unable to reimburse them at this time because of matters that require further investigation about whether the deliverable meets the standards of the contract.
Thank you. Any further public comment? All right, we will motion to adjourn the Ulster County IDA meeting and then subsequently convene.